After almost four decades spearheading editorial at Vogue America, Anna Wintour announced that she was stepping down a few weeks ago, here to reflect on her global influence on the fashion industry enough to impact us all the way across the Pacific, is Dr. Rachel Lamarche, Senior Lecturer at Torrens University in Fashion Marketing and Enterprise. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, my mum was an avid Vogue reader for a long time, and we watched The Devil Wears Prada so many times when I was younger, and Anna Wintour being the icon that she was sort of the inspiration behind that fashion empire. Like, what kind of impact did she have to have had? Like, how did she push her boundaries with editorial choices?
Yeah, she's really like a cultural icon as much as a, you know, someone who's really renowned for her editorial choices. So I think both of those things really went hand in hand. And she, in many ways, because American Vogue was the first Vogue edition, and so after that, there has been and there are still many different Vogues that are, you know, specific to different countries and different areas of the world, but American Vogue was always kind of the one that set the tone. And Anna Wintour was not always the cultural icon that she was. She was very young when she went and kind of took the reins at Vogue, but she, you know, through her editorial choices and how fashion has become such an important part of culture, like fashion and culture are so close together. I think this and the way that she has put herself forward have all created this kind of cultural aura around the person that is, you know, Anna Wintour. Like, she is a person that people recognize outside of, you know, what she is known for at Vogue. People know her almost as a single entity, as much as they know that she is and has been at the head of Vogue US for, you know, 37 years.
Yeah, and I mean, what did Vogue look like? What did the kind of fashion microcosm look like in the 80s before she took over?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I'm not a Vogue historian, but if you have kind of an interest in fashion, you do end up getting consumed by the evolution of the magazine. So there was Vogue has had specific periods of different editors over the years, but the editors of Vogue US tend to stay for quite a while in the role. So there was Diana Vreeland, who was there until the 70s. And then after Diana Vreeland, there was Grace Mirabella. So Grace Mirabella was kind of the person that took Vogue through to 88 when Anna Wintour took over the role. And, you know, it was very much like a period of women empowerment, like the 70s, the 80s. And I think that the magazine itself was having to contend with that, with those changing times. But I think that what happened is that when the change happened between Mirabella and Wintour, is that the magazine had maybe not focused enough in the eyes of Condé Nast, who owns Vogue. The magazine had kind of lost its fashion focus. And that's why Anna Wintour was brought on board. It was so that she would bring back a heavy focus on fashion again, because that really what they wanted to be known for and to put forward. And so that's kind of how she came about into the Vogue stratosphere, and then her editorial choices then made the magazine become even more relevant again from a fashion perspective.
Absolutely. But there's also like kind of the other side, where high fashion can come off as elitist in its social signaling, and social media influencers seem to be kind of bucking this trend. Is the editorial power of Anna Wintour's contemporaries waning?
That's an interesting question to ask. I would say that interestingly, if you look at the first ever cover that she put out, she was the first editor to blend, couture and I think it was a pair of Guess jeans. So she had a Christian Lacroix jacket that was really emblazoned with like this big cross and a pair of denim jeans on a model that had barely any makeup. So already she had kind of changed a little bit this image of fashion as elitist. But yes, you are correct that there has been, for quite a long time in the fashion system as we know it, this idea of, what is fashion and what is trendy and what is cool is trickling down and making its way from a gatekeeping area where people are the taste makers, those who ch choose what trend makes it to the masses, and what are the it bags and what are the things that you should be wearing this season. And this is true across the board for a variety of industries. And that was true of just the media in general, right? Like in the media, there was always this gatekeeping decision of like, what is news? What makes it in the news? And what is it that we select in the editorial room that our consumers are going to be consuming, our readers are going to read? So with social media, that flattening has happened where there are still gatekeepers for your major media publications, but obviously there is a direct access now. People have a direct access to each other through social media, and that's also what has kind of created this, there's no more real trends anymore. There's really the trends that you followed of the people that you like to that you like the look of, and in some ways that's really disrupted the fashion industry. And yet we still find ways to have trends that make their way through, the regular editorial system. So it's a really, fashion is a really disrupted space at the moment. It's very interesting.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to ask kind of one last question. Making a statement is a common like through line in fashion spheres, and you mentioned that fashion continues to grow increasingly political. How does that come over into those spheres, especially in a climate as unstable as America, as the US at the moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, it has been true in, across the world. We've had politicians here in Victoria that have also made statements through what they're wearing. Like Georgie Purcell is a good example when she was inspired by the kind of same movement as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who wore a dress on the Met's red carpet, which is so, relevant to a conversation about Anna Wintour,
Yes.
and wore a shirt that had all these writing like about the kind of abuse that Georgie gets online. And so there is this idea of fashion taking quote unquote sides. So like another good example is that Vogue ran a cover last year, or I think under Joe when the Joe Biden administration was coming in, where they had Kamala Harris on the cover. And so there is this idea of, being an agent of change. And I think that in some ways, because fashion is such an important cultural component now, like people consume fashion content and expect in a lot of ways fashion to take a stand. That's definitely something that we've seen a lot happening. And I think that in the States that continues to they continue to be part of the conversation, and that's all that matters really.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on to 2SER Drive to have a chat with me about that. Thank you
Yeah,
so
no
much.
worries. Thank you.